We're going to have our Bible reading now for this morning, and Pamela's going to read for us.
This morning's reading is the next section from the Sermon on the Mount that Derek is leading us through, and it's entitled Oaths, and it's Matthew 5, verse 33 to 37, and it's on page 969. Again, you have heard it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair black or white. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Amen.
Thank you, Pam. And if you've got a Bible, you might well want to turn it to Matthew 5. And we're looking at verses 33 to 37. As you probably know, it's already been referred to this morning. We have local elections on Thursday, the 2nd of May, and to be followed, of course, by a general election. We don't know when, but probably or most likely sometime later in the year. I don't know how you feel about voting. It seems to be going on and off a bit. How do you feel about voting? Maybe you have mixed feelings about it. I think it's right that we do vote. It's a privilege, I suppose, really, that we have, but it can be increasingly difficult to know who to vote for. All candidates, or at least most candidates, are very capable, it seems to me, of either manipulating or calling into question, the policies and promises that are made by all the other candidates. That seems to me kind of par for the course, really. And so I find myself increasingly thinking, who do I believe? Who can I believe? Not just whether they're all much of a oneness or a sameness or what's different between one party and another, but who can we believe? Everything these days has to be fact-checked, doesn't it? Just to kind of cut through the exaggerations and the sort of half-truths. We live in a day where we are bloated, I think, with information, and yet starved with what is true. I think we all know someone, I guess, or we can think of someone that when we're in conversation with them, every time they open their mouth, We wonder, are they telling the truth? Because it's kind of, they pull things in from here, there, and everywhere, and not only are you not sure what they're saying, but you're also not sure if you can believe what they're saying. I'm sure we've heard the saying, just take what they say with a pinch of salt. And we know what we mean by that, don't we? Don't believe everything they say. Don't be so gullible. The chances are they're not really telling you the truth. And the challenge this morning is very simple, really. It's a challenge to be true to who we are and to be honest and trustworthy people. Okay, let's look at our passage in verse 33. Jesus says, again you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. So when you take an oath or you make a vow, you're promising something, aren't you? And in promising, you appeal to a higher authority as a witness to say that you will be true to your word. And we'll look at this in a moment. Is God against, is Jesus against taking or swearing an oath, making a vow? Or is it a concession to our fallenness? That somehow we have to call upon a higher authority to give credence to what we say. See, if we spoke the truth all the time, it wouldn't be necessary, would it? And what was happening in the time of Jesus is that people would make an oath or swear an oath, but they would find ways of wriggling out of it to, they would distort or twist the oath to avoid responsibility. I'll give you an example. So someone would say, right, I swear by Jerusalem that I will give you 3 goats for your cow. Okay? So he takes the cow, but he discovers that the cow doesn't produce as much milk as he thought it would. So he feels he's got a bit of a rough deal. So he takes his goats to pay the man, but he only takes 2 goats. So the man says, you swore by Jerusalem that you would give me 3 goats for my cow. And he replies, you're right, I did swear by Jerusalem that I would give you 3 goats for your cow. But I didn't swear toward Jerusalem. I swore by Jerusalem, but I didn't swear. And this is the sort of thing that was going on. They would find ways of wriggling out. So they'd make an oath, but then they'd find a way of getting out of it if they felt they wanted to. I want to read you a quote by a gentleman by the name of Dan Doriani. It's from an article online. He says this: in Jesus' day, rabbis concocted a system that defeated the purpose of oaths. They taught that oaths might or might not be binding, depending on how you once swore. If one swore by Jerusalem, it was not binding. But if one swore toward Jerusalem, it was. If one swore by the temple, it was not binding. But if one swore by the temple, towards the temple, by the temple's gold, it was. If one swore by the altar of sacrifice, it was not binding. If one swore by the gift on the altar, it was. So you can see just how sort of muddy and confusing it must have been. And knowing what was going on, we can better, I think, understand what Jesus says in verses 34 to 36. He says, but I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Jesus is saying that every promise you make, you are accountable to God. That's what he's saying in these verses. That's why he refers to heaven as God's throne, earth is his footstool, Jerusalem is the city of the great king, and even your head, you have no control over that. So he said, wherever you swear an oath, God is present. You cannot avoid God being present as a witness to the oath that you're making. In other words, Jesus is saying there's no wriggle room. You can't wriggle out of it. God is everywhere when you make a promise or you swear an oath. Of course, why did they swear oaths in the first place, and why do we swear oaths today? So effectively, they were calling upon a higher power or person, as a witness to guarantee that what they're saying is true, to guarantee that they will keep their promise. Sometimes people might say today, I swear on my mother's life. Seems a bit dramatic to me, that one, but maybe you've said that. And I suppose it's a way of emphasizing, isn't it, that we are, what I'm about to say is the absolute truth. But why would people, Jesus, be so against? Why does he say, don't swear oaths at all? Is he against it or not? Okay, we'll come to that. See, a lot of Christians would say it's all right to swear an oath. And we do swear oaths, don't we? I mean, if you're in court, you have to put your hand on the Bible and swear that I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, I think as well, in the Church of England, you swear an oath of allegiance to the king. So these are fairly standard or legitimate oaths that people might say. And we know that Jesus himself swore an oath or spoke under oath. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 26, where the high priest says to Jesus, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus answers. He says to him, you have said so, Jesus replied. But I say to you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. So we can't say that oaths are out, because Jesus responded to an oath, didn't he? The second reason I don't think Jesus is saying we should never swear an oath is because the context of the verses that we're looking at in Matthew 5 is not about not swearing an oath. The context, if you like, is about integrity of character. And that's the point that Jesus is kind of driving home. But one of the early church fathers by the name of Clement of Alexandria said, Christians should live such pure lives that no one would ever dream of asking them to take an oath. I don't know about you, I find that quite challenging. You know, that we would always tell the truth. We would never have to say, you know, I swear on my mother's life or whatever. Do we need to gain some sort of credibility to what we are going to say to someone? Do we have to call upon a higher authority to convince someone that what we're going to say is the truth? And yet we do it sometimes. And I think we do it in a very sort of casual way, perhaps. Maybe you've said something like this. I mean, to tell you the truth. Ever said that? You mean you weren't telling the truth before? I mean, say that, don't we, to give some authenticity, some credence to what we're about to say. And Jesus is saying you shouldn't have to prop up your words. The words should stand on their own. In other words, always tell the truth. Our words should always be true and trustworthy. You know, people shouldn't have to kind of like read between the lines. Is there something, are they saying something that I'm not quite hearing? Jesus says, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that, he says, comes from the evil one. Now that should make us stop and sit up, really. Anything beyond that, he says, is from the evil one. I think we'd be wise to take note of that. See, when we say something that is not aligned to what we know to be true, is that a lie? Or is it just misleading? Jesus says it comes from the evil one. On one occasion, when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees in John's Gospel, this is what we read. He says to them, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. It is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Now that might sound quite strange, I don't know. See, the devil is a person, if you like, of complete integrity. The devil is someone who has complete integrity. What he says is always true to his character. Because he's always been a liar from the beginning. And so he always speaks lies. So when Jesus says, you know, when you say something, and maybe it's an exaggeration, or manipulative, Jesus says, that comes from the evil one. That's not God speaking through you. And I think we need to sit up and take note of that. Going back to what Jesus said, the words yes and no, you know, let your yes be yes and your no be no. I mean, yes and no are probably the simplest words in the English language, aren't they? Is Jesus saying just live by those two words? Of course not. He is saying, though, let your words be true. Can you imagine what our world would be like if every word we spoke was true? No reading between the lines, no second guessing, no fact checking. I guess our conversations might be shorter, but richer. I think faith and trust would flourish. Anxiety, I think, would plummet. I think Jesus would be exalted. And those who don't know him would be drawn to him. All our words were absolutely true. And that's what Jesus is calling those disciples who are sat on that hillside, listening to him. He's saying, be very transparent. He's calling us to a life of truthfulness, isn't he? And integrity, where what we say is what we mean, and what we mean is what we say. See, this is the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They were always looking for a bit of wiggle room. They were always trying to get out of things or say things that they knew weren't really true. But Jesus says, well, that's not to be how it is with you. How is it possible to always speak the truth? I mean, why would we lie anyway? I think there are two main reasons, I think, why we lie. And by the way, I lie as well. But this is for me. We all do. And I think one reason we do it is to protect ourselves. And the other reason is to promote ourselves. And it might just be done in very, very subtle ways. I think the answer to an honest life is to be truly satisfied in Jesus. To be able to rest in Him so we don't have to protect ourselves and we don't have to promote ourselves. If we're completely satisfied in Jesus and understand that we are completely loved by Him as we are, then we can rest in that. And there's no need for exaggeration or manipulation or a little white lie or whatever it might be to either protect ourselves or make ourselves look better. When we're completely satisfied and secure in our relationship with Jesus, then we're free to be honest and truthful. And that's, as I say, I think that's what Jesus was calling his disciples to. And the example of oaths is simply that, an example of how the Pharisees and the teachers of the law would twist and manipulate those. So let's make sure Jesus is at the center of our lives, that we are completely satisfied and secure in Him. Let's take a moment to pray together. Father, help us to hear your word for us this morning. Lord, would you forgive us when we say things to protect ourselves, maybe to protect our image, to keep something in the dark rather than allowing it to come into the light. Things to promote ourselves, very often at the expense of someone else. To say things that seem so subtle. Lord, would you forgive us? Would you help us, Lord, to live this life that you call us to, this radical life, this righteousness that you speak about. So we ask for your help, Lord, the help of your Holy Spirit. And so we do, Father, commit ourselves to you. We commit those we love, those who are not here but would rather be here. Lord, would you walk with us again through another week? Lord, would you help us to be a good witness at home, amongst those who know us well, and amongst those who may be a stranger to us. Lord, help us to speak love and truth. And Lord, may you be glorified through our living and all that we do, Lord, so that we might be able to praise you for working through us. So bless us, Lord, we pray, as we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.